Folks, we want you to turn to this passage in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sure by now it is quite familiar to you. Ephesians chapter 1. We will just read from verse 3 to verse 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself, sons, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, this is our text today. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Want you to note this morning where we have come, or where we have been, and what we have looked at. And really, we have looked at it briefly. We have thought about the fact of being a chosen, of being adopted, and today we're going to look at being redeemed. Verse 4 says, "For even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." We thought of how we are, the children of God, our chosen people, and a royal priesthood. Verse 5 says, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself. We thought about that great truth of adoption, of being adopted into the family of God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you are a Christian, truly a Christian, you have been adopted into the family of God, and it's that which makes us brothers and sisters today in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that that brings us into this great family, the family of God. Then verse 7, in him we have redemption. So we can see that, as he says right at the beginning, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You will agree with that, I'm sure, when you think of the fact that you have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you have been adopted into the family of God. And today, as we will see, you have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to consider this subject of redemption by the blood of Christ. We should take just a moment to define redemption. And this is what the word means. It means liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. Liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. It's important that we think about these words because they are so rich in meaning. one of the most dreadful scourges of the history of mankind must surely be slavery. It is a dreadful thing, something that has gone on since the dawn of history and continues until this day. Sometimes people think that slavery is a thing of the past. If you take time to look around the world, you will find that that is not so. It's still with us today, that awful scourge called slavery. The one thing that every slave, of course, dreams of is to be liberated, to be set free. They dream of that. And they dream of being free from the chains that bind them. One of the things that mankind really cherishes greatly is freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty. You ever sail into the New York Harbor, you will find there that great statue. It's called the Statue of Liberty. People flee from Europe to the United States so that they might be free to worship, free to do that which they long to do. And yet, sadly, it wasn't very long to the whole slave trade made an awful black mark on that great nation. For the slave to be redeemed and set free is the greatest gift that could ever be received. And as we come now to our text, I want us to note what this text is saying. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We need to keep in mind that every Christian, prior to being liberated and set free and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, are in chains. They are chained by their own sin. The first question, of course, that springs to mind is this, and I'm sure you've heard people ask the question, why do I need to be redeemed? Why do I need this redemption? Why do I need a redeemer? That's a great question. They would say, or some would say, surely I'm not a slave in need of someone to redeem me, someone to buy me. My dear friends, we need to keep in mind again this morning that this is the sad plight of so many people. They just are not aware of the fact that they are indeed in slavery. They're in slavery to their own sin, as we will see. They're in slavery to the world and to the flesh and to the devil, to the prince of the power of the earth. And their sin will keep them in slavery, not only for time, but for all eternity. Yet as we talk to so many people, they're not aware of that. They smile in sympathy at us sometimes whenever we speak in that way, and say, those poor religious people don't know any better. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of my childhood days. As you know, I grew up on a farm. Often think about it. often think about those great days as a boy on the farm, having the great freedom to roam the fields and the meadows. But we also had chores on the farm. One of the things in my early days was to go out and there would be a field in which the chickens were. They were free range chickens. So we had free range eggs. And they would go, you would go out in the evening and mum or dad might say, Alfie, away out there and make sure all the chickens are in the chicken house and make sure that the door is tightly shut. So you would go out and you would find the chickens, and many of the chickens are happy picking around in the grass and being out there. And whenever you come to bring them in, some of them don't want to come in. They don't want to come in. Why did we bring them in at night? Why did we just not leave them out there? Well, we brought them in at night because in Ireland, we have got Mr. Fox. Those foxes would come around in the evening and they would come and they would kill many of the chickens if they're out, and then they would carry one or two or three of them right back to their den. And so the chickens were not aware of the great danger that they were in. They were not aware of the fact that this boy was in the field seeking to put them in and to secure them. They needed to be secure. They needed to be in a safe place. My dear friends, this morning, we need to keep in mind that this is how it is with the world. Brothers and sisters, let us not become impatient with the world. Just as I needed to have patience to get those chickens in the house where they would be safe, so you and I will find that people will not want to listen. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. We need to remind them of this fact that we found in Ephesians 2. You remember a number of weeks ago where the writer says you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. There is the great need of life and liberty and that happiness that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the slavery that mankind is in. Those of us who have been redeemed, those of us who have been liberated. Surely, brothers and sisters, we rejoice greatly this morning in the wonder of that. We have been redeemed, and as the hymn writer says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Can we see then the great need of redemption? Spiritual deadness, slaves to the prince of the power of the air, and slaves to the passions of our own flesh, and in danger of being slaves for all eternity. Back to our text. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. I see that this text teaches us four things. Firstly, we are told who the purchaser is, in him. We are told what the price of redemption was through his blood. We have been told of the pardon that comes with redemption, the forgiveness of our transgressions. And fourthly, we have seen the powerful force behind redemption, that is, the riches of his grace. Now, if I'm going to look at those four, I will need to move quite quickly. So let's come and look at them one by one. Firstly, we will note the purchaser. That is the one who purchased the redeemed. If I am part of the redeemed of the Lord, then of necessity, I have had to have someone who purchased my redemption. What we find in the text here is very clear, as we see this repeated over and over again. In him, we have redemption through his blood. In him, we have redemption. In order to be redeemed, we understand that we need a redeemer. If you were a slave in the past, you had lived 100, 200 years ago in so many places in the world as a slave, you would have needed a redeemer, someone who would buy you and then set you free. Where in the world, someone will say, can such a redeemer be found? Who can redeem us from the wrath of God and the prince of the power of the earth or the air? Who is able to do that? Who can we find who will do that? Now, unfortunately, we have many people in our world who are saying, I can find redemption in many different ways. I can find redemption through my religion, or I can find redemption through my good works. I can find redemption through my priest or through my church. And on and on and on it goes. But oh, my dear friends, we need to remember this morning that there is only one redeemer. There is a redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the only redeemer. If you are here listening in this morning and you are not a Christian, there is nobody who will be able to pay the price for your redemption apart from the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Who can be found? Only him. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. In the same way we also, when we were children, were enslaved by the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time, listen to the beautiful verse, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And in that verse, we have both redemption and adoption, to redeem those who were under the law, that he might, that we might receive adoption as sons. when the fullness of time was come. At God's appointed time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. So if we come perhaps for a moment or two together to the stable in Bethlehem, and as we gather together and we bow down to get through that little door and look in, and there we see a baby lying in a manger. We see that helpless little one lying there in the manger. And I said to you, do you see that little one there? That little one is the Redeemer of the world. He is the one who will pay the price of redemption. And see that 12-year-old boy, as he's there in the temple, both hearing the religious leaders and asking them questions. He's just 12 years old. And we gather together around that company, and somebody says, who is he? We say, that is the Redeemer of his people. That is the one who has been spoken of throughout the old economy, who at the appointed time has been sent, and here he is, and his mission is to redeem. As we see him, 30 years old, and we're standing in the banks of the Jordan River, there we see John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus standing out in the water. And as we watch him going under the waters of baptism, someone says, who is he? And we say, this is the Redeemer of mankind. 3 years later, we watch this man being marched down the streets of Jerusalem and out to Mount Calvary. And as we see him, and he's in a mess, his face is more marred than the face of any man. He's carrying a cross, and he falls under the weight of the cross. They take him out to the mount. They lay him down on the cross, and they nail him to that gibbet. Then they put that cross up with one on each side. And as we watch, we say, who is that man? And the reply comes back, that is the Redeemer. That is the one who has come to redemption, to bring redemption. There on that cross, he purchased a people for himself. There on that cross, he brought liberty and freedom for the people of God, for time and for eternity. He alone is the Redeemer. Neither is there salvation or redemption in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved, or whereby you can be redeemed. So it's always lovely for the people of God to be reminded again that all that they have now, and all that they ever hope to be in time and in eternity, they owe it to the one who is their great Redeemer, the great Lord Jesus Christ. So this verse teaches us of who the purchaser is. In him, we have redemption. This text also teaches us the price that he paid for our redemption. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. Now, I'm aware of the fact that there are so many people in our world who just hate that thought that Jesus Christ had to become a propitiation for sin, that the price that had to be paid was the price of his blood. The Holy Spirit really spells this out again and again as we go through Holy Scripture. There are just loads of passages and verses this morning that convey this great truth. Let me just give you three or four. In Acts 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders of the church, a church at Ephesus, and he's encouraging them to be faithful in their proclamation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what he said to them. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church which he has purchased or obtained with his own blood. And I say this morning, folk, that this in some ways is a frightful verse to me, because I realize that God has called me to pastor a church. And in pastoring that church, what is my responsibility? My responsibility is to care for the flock, to care for those who have been redeemed, to care for them as they continue in their pilgrimage through this world of sin. Then I'm reminded who they are, and how important they are to God. They are those who have been obtained. There are those who have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a responsibility to be placed upon men. And only by the grace of God will they be able to fulfill that responsibility. In Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14, we read these words. He has delivered us, that's believers, from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. That's what a Christian is this morning. Someone who has been liberated, someone who has been delivered from the dominion of darkness. And they have been transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Why? Because he has redeemed them through his own precious blood. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says this, knowing that you were ransomed, and that's the same word as redeemed, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile way inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, with the precious blood of Christ, that of a lamb without blemish, without spot. It's a great text. You have been redeemed. You've been ransomed. But it's not with corruptible things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That is the cost of your redemption, dear brother and sister this morning. Please listen. This is what it cost the Savior. His own precious blood. One other text before we move on. Revelation 5 and 9. They sung a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal. It's talking of the Lord Jesus. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal. For you were slain, and by your blood you have ransomed people for God from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. By your blood you have done what? You have ransomed people. You have redeemed people. You have bought people out of the slave market of sin. And you have bought these people for God. From where? From every tribe. From every language. From every people. From every nation. As we sit this morning, united through Zoom. Of course, we're united through Christ. We realize that we come from different tribes and language, people, nation. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. And there he purchased the redemption for each one of us through his own shed blood. See, my dear friends, this morning, all that we are, we owe to him. That great eternity we know is coming, where we will dwell with God forever and dwell with each other forever, has been purchased for us at a great price. That is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And remember, as we think about his precious blood, we realize that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we see our Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, as we see him and hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We realize that something is happening here which we can't enter into. But really what is happening is that the Lord Jesus Christ is bearing the wrath of God for those who he would redeem. And as we think about it, we realize that we will never know what the wrath of God is like, because he has taken our place. But oh, how that should move our hearts this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we realize that many of our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors are still exposed to that wrath because they're not neath the blood. So here we have in our text the purchaser in him. Here we have the price that has been paid. the blood of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we have the pardon bought. We have redemption through his blood. Note it, please. The forgiveness of our trespasses. The forgiveness of our trespasses. It is right here. I believe that our understanding of redemption is completely exhausted. We cannot enter into the, as the hymn writer said, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through where he found his sheep that was lost. We cannot enter into that. But we cannot really enter into this either. You see, with redemption comes the forgiveness of sins. This redemption carries with it something which is beyond amazing. Not only are we bought with the precious blood of Christ, not only have we been redeemed, but our sins have all been blotted out. Our sins have all been forgiven. Not some of them, not most of them, not almost all of them, but every last sin has been atoned for. He has purchased our freedom. And he has forgiven our sins. Think of it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. I want you to do this as I seek to do it too. I want you to think of your rebellion of the past. Think about your lying, your cheating, your stealing, your adultery, your jealousy, your hatred, and on it goes. Think about this morning. Think of what you were before you found Christ or Christ found you. Think of that deceitful, dreadful, sinful heart that continually flew in the face a holy God. Yet here you stand before him this morning. And as you stand, this passage tells us that he has chosen you to be his child, that he has adopted you into his family, that he has redeemed you through his precious blood. And he has forgiven you. So you are an adopted, redeemed, forgiven child of God. Again, I want to note, and I love doing this because as I prepare my sermons, often I just think to myself, Lord, I cannot even begin to convey these truths to people. And often I just turn to the Word of God. And I know that the Spirit of God conveys in a way which I cannot even begin to do. Listen, as we're thinking about a forgiven people, our sins are forgiven. Listen to what some text says. In Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And then this great 12th verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Have you got it? He has forgiven you. And he has cast your sin into the sea of his forgetfulness. He has cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. It goes on and on and on and on. So far has God removed our transgressions from us. Oh, you think of that horrible, sinful heart of yours and mine. How that we have rebelled in thought and in word and in deed against God. We have flown in the face of a holy God. We have told him we want nothing to do with him. And yet he comes and redeems us. And he takes our transgressions and casts them as far as the east is from the west. Romans 4, 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawful deeds are forgiven. And whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man, listen to this, blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is he blessed? Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Blessed is the man whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. In Colossians 2, 13 and 14, we read, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven our trespasses. Listen to the 14th verse. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to his cross. Oh, my dear friends, let these truths sink in. Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, declares the Lord. Listen. I will put my law in their hearts. I will write them in their minds. And he adds, I will remember their sin and their lawless deeds no more. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds. No more. I have too many texts here. Let me give you one or two. 1 John 1, 7, 9. We all know that, I'm sure. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses and keeps on cleansing us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 1 John 2 and 12 says, I am writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for the sake, or for his name's sake. How was this made possible? Oh, my dear friends, the text clearly tells us, and Paul again in 2 Corinthians tells us the same thing. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Think about it this morning. Am I the righteousness of God? Yes. He who knew no sin. For our sake, God made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That is the pardon that was bought. Calvary. He set us free. He redeemed us at a great cost. And then he canceled all our sin. He made it possible for us to enter into his holy presence and dwell with him forever and ever. So we must finish quickly. We can see in the text the purchaser in him. We see in the text the price, his blood. We see in the text the pardon that was bought. He set us free from the sin. According our he forgive us our trespasses. Then finally, I want you to note the powerful force behind this redemption. The powerful force that is behind this redemption. See, you cannot help but ask yourself the question, can you, my dear brothers and sisters, this morning? Why did God want to do that? Why did Jesus Christ want to come and pay that price? Why did the Holy Spirit want to come and inform us of the finished work of Christ? Was it that forced him to do this? I believe the text gives us the answer. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. You see, we stand back in amazement. We ask, what caused this holy God to go to such length to redeem us? Well, he says, because of his grace, because of his grace. We thought about that a few weeks ago. What an amazing, incredible attribute God's grace is. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How does one describe the indescribable? Those of you who are preachers amongst us this morning will especially understand that the preacher is often at such great disadvantage. Because he sees these great truths. How can he convey them? How can we describe the grace of God? The unmerited favor of God? It's indescribable. But it's that that drove the holy, holy, holy God to display his grace upon a hopeless, helpless, sinful people. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10. He says, I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. The Apostle Paul often looked back in his life and he often, I know, regretted what he had done in the past. And he is amazed that he should become an apostle. He says, I'm unworthy to be called an apostle because of what I did. Not only as I a sinner in my nature by and practice, but what I did is I went from town to town, from village to village, from place to place. I rounded up believers. I imprisoned them. I stood there while they killed the great Stephen. unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. And then in verse 10, he says these lovely words, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. In closing this morning, folk, can I invite each one of us to just meditate on that thought just now? You have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the riches of God's grace. And it's only by the grace of God that you are what you are. Nothing in you. You know, sometimes we get high opinions of ourselves. But whenever we come face to face with the reality of our sin, we realize that we're all miserable, hell-deserving sinners. And yet, we are a people who have been adopted into the family of God, a people who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a people whose sins have all been cancelled and all blotted out. Surely we can only join the Apostle Paul whenever people say to us, well, how did this come about? And we explain the cross work of Christ and we conclude by saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let me close by quoting the text. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. One old hymn puts it like this: redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child. And forever I am. Let me quote that again. That great old hymn. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. His child. Forever I am.